Ingham County officials have announced good news about the area's housing market. In a release last week, Register of Deeds Curtis Hertel Jr. reported that home sales last year were up and that foreclosures were down. Here to put those developments in greater context and to update us on his bid to become a state senator, current state welcomes back Curtis Hertel Jr.
Thank you for having me.
Good to see you. In 2013, foreclosures down, home sales up. Put these developments in context for us, please. Why is this happening?
Well, we attribute most of the home sale increases to nuclear scientists working on the effort, but not really. The good news is the numbers are recovering for the first time since I took office. Actually, 6 years ago, when I took office, we had seen foreclosures actually triple. In this county, going from an average of 500 to 600 people losing their homes in Ingham County to between 1,500 and 1,800. And it has stayed at those numbers for the last 5 years. So to actually, for the first time in the last 6 years, we are under 1,000 people losing their home to foreclosure and a dramatic 22% increase in home sales. So that's good news. The economy in Ingham County is recovering. I think that we're going to recover faster than most places because we have a good quality of life here in Ingham County. We have good parks, good schools. We have the university here. It's a great place to live. So I think that we're going to recover faster than a lot of places in the state. And we're already seeing those numbers come in, and we're very excited about that.
Now, the unemployment rate is still higher than anyone would like, especially here in Michigan, over 8% in November. But locally, are you suggesting that the employment picture is just marginally stronger, so that and does that account for some of the improvements that you're pointing to?
We recover faster partially because of the university, and so that's a big economic driver in this community. We've made a lot of investments in tech jobs here in Ingham County and in Lansing, so I think that's helping as well. And I think that we have a good quality of life here, which is always helpful. I think that the overall state economy has been slower than we'd like to recover. I think that we need as a state to make more investments in things like public education and infrastructure. We've made those investments in Ingham County, so I would think that if the state could follow that lead, that they would recover faster as well.
A lot of the economic forecasts for 2014 are calling for a good year. Do you anticipate more improvement on the foreclosure and home sales front in calendar 2014?
Yeah, certainly on the foreclosure front. I think that we've hit the bottom. A lot of people thought we hit the bottom before, but I think we've hit it now. I think that we're going to see more people staying in their homes. We have a robust program to keep people in their homes here in Ingham County. We have financial counseling that's available to people that are in trouble. We have lawyers that are available for people that are being illegally foreclosed. So we have a multifaceted effort to keep people in their homes. So the economy is improving on one end, a lot of tools on the other end. In terms of the home sales, as long as the economy gets better, home sales are going to do better. The one thing I would say is that we have to be careful of is interest rates. And we saw a small uptick in interest rates at the end of last year, and that certainly slowed the market a little bit. If that continued to go up, I think that would have a cooling effect on the market. Mm. It's interesting because you actually, when rates go up, at the very first part of that, you see people sell quickly because they panic almost, and that if it jumps any further than that, they're afraid the market will go down and that they'll lose equity.
And we had one of those situations earlier, in the middle of last year. I want to say interest rates jumped 1% in a month, I'm not mistaken, but then they came back down.
Yeah. So, we have to be watchful of that. Most people lock in a interest rate for 30 days, so you have you lock in at the very beginning of the process and then you move forward. So if they jump, people will tend to play the market a little bit. And so I think that in general, the picture is very good. And I expect that if it's a good time to sell a home in Ingham County, and the good news is it's a good time to buy too, because prices are still relatively stagnant.
You blasted banks and various foreclosure companies during the housing collapse for abuses and incompetence. From your experience, has that improved at all since then?
No. I think that there have been attempts at improvement, but I still see a lot of incompetence out there. I still see you know, vacant houses that are sitting for a long period of time. We have one in East Lansing that we're looking at doing some press on soon that has been sitting there for 2 years vacant, that large bank, Bank of America, has done nothing with, and letting a property rot in the middle of a community. And so we still do see cases of that out there.
But less frequently?
Certainly less frequently because there are less houses that are being foreclosed. Mm-hmm. But I don't think the problem has been solved. And, you know, apparently David Trott, who runs the largest foreclosure firm in the state, is actually planning on running for Congress now. So, I mean, these people have influence already by making large campaign contributions. Now one of them wants to be a congressman, a person who has actually built their career off of living off human misery. So
that gives you pause.
I think that, you know, I believe in public service as a gift, and I care about the people that I serve. To elect someone to Congress who has basically lived off of other people's misery for this much time. And I'm not saying all foreclosure attorneys are bad, but in this one particular, we've seen all the cases of robo-signing and pushing people out of their homes needlessly. And I just think when you've grown that big and you've monetized, they've monetized every part of the foreclosure process. They own the paper where the foreclosures are printed in. They own the title company that does it. They found a whole way to monetize the system. And I find it interesting that, you know, they're running as a conservative when they've taken so much federal bailout money through their foreclosure processes. I mean, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are their clients. They've mm-hmm. benefited from the federal bailout more than almost anybody in the
state. They represent lenders in litigation.
Yeah, absolutely. Their job is to move the profit process along swiftly and get people out of their homes. And I'm not saying that there haven't been cases where they've done the right thing. I'm sure there are. But I can point to many cases where people have been hurt by this process to push people out of their homes faster. And I think that, unfortunately, Trott and other foreclosure mills in this state haven't done enough to protect people.
Are you following that particular race by
Absolutely.
Any chance?
It's a fascinating
Trott
race.
Trott versus Kerry Benevolio in the 11th congressional district.
Yes, but you know the Dems have a good candidate as well. You know, it's not the easiest district in the world, but I think the Republicans have two very flawed candidates. So we have a former military national security expert running as well. So I think it's going to be an interesting race, and I look forward to keeping an eye on it. Yeah, I'm a creature of this kind of stuff.
Are you encouraged by the prospects for gubernatorial candidate Mark Schauer?
Absolutely. I support Mark strongly.
What do you make of the UAW's ongoing courtship of Gretchen Whitmer to run for governor?
Well, you know, I mean, I love Gretchen Whitmer, too. It's not a... certainly not a slight on her, but she's a strong supporter of Mark Schauer as well. You know, I attended a fundraiser for Mark Schauer at Gretchen Whitmer's house. So I know that Gretchen is supporting Mark. And I think that, you know, Gretchen's focus is on picking up seats in the state Senate, where we're down to 12 seats right now and a super minority. And we have a lot of opportunities to pick up seats in the state. So I think that's where Gretchen's focus is, and I think Mark, we have a great candidate for governor. I'm excited about this year. I think we have a great chance to win the governorship, and I certainly think the Republicans have given us plenty of ammunition, and I'm looking forward to getting out on the campaign trail and talking about it.
But it must concern you that the UAW in particular has apparent doubts about the guy most Democrats are trying to rally around and generate support for.
Listen, it's a difficult process to get the endorsement of an organization as large as the UAW. You know, there are all the different regions you have to work with. You know, I'm proud that we've gotten the endorsement of the UAW, but I only have to work with one region. So there's a lot of inside baseball here and how it actually works. I would say that, you know, having spoken to members, UAW members that are out working, I think that they're happy that Mark Schauer is running. I mean,
really?
He's got a very good record on labor issues and standing up for the auto industry. And Norwood Jewell, who is the Region 1C director, who is you know, the person who runs the region here for Lansing stood up and said, if it wasn't for Mark Schauer, we wouldn't have an auto industry in this state. And I think that's true. And I think that no one's been a bigger supporter of the auto industry and labor than Mark Schauer. So
it's interesting because apparently one of the concerns is Mr. Schauer's ability to fundraise, but it would seem to me that the UAW could play a significant role in assisting that.
They're certainly one of the major funders of the party. You know, I would say this. He's got $1 million in cash on hand.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how bad politics has gotten in this state where $1 million isn't a lot of money, more than just under a year out. But I think that's a pretty good number. It's certainly more than any candidate had 4 years ago when we were running for governor. You know, Jennifer Granholm was a stalwart fundraiser, so I think that sometimes we expect to have another Jennifer Granholm. I don't think that's going to happen. But I think he's raised, you know, over $1 million. He's going to have matching funds to the through the primary, and then we keep going. But you know, money is important in politics. It certainly is an indicator of how you're going to do. But I know Mark Schauer. I've worked with Mark Schauer before. He is one of the best grassroots, hardest workers that I've ever met on the campaign trail. And I think that translates as well. And I think he's a real person that I think would be an interesting contrast to the governor who can seem to be aloof sometimes.
It'll be interesting to see as well. Vice President Biden is in Detroit today
Yes.
for a fundraiser for the Democratic candidate. Speaking of mountains of money, if it were your call, how would you earmark the $900 million Michigan budget surplus? Any thoughts on it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think we've made a lot of de-investments in this state over the last 4 years that we need to start reinvesting in. So my first priority would be funding public education. I think that there have been a lot of cuts to the education, and that we have a unique opportunity to actually make investments. That being said, a lot of this money is one-time use money. You know, they're talking about actually two-thirds of it being only a one-time gain. So you can't make too many long-term investments. You have to be careful. But I think this idea of making a permanent tax increase based on 1 year of good budgeting just doesn't make any sense.
Tax, you know, tax decrease.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Tax decrease. I apologize. But, you know, you look at, you know, Governor Snyder has talked about wanting to run this economy like a bit, run this state like a business. If you had a 2% increase in sales 1 year, you wouldn't reinvest it immediately the next year, which is what they're basically trying to talk about by putting it into long-term tax savings. I just don't think it's a good plan. I think it's an election year gimmick. And hopefully the governor will stand up on this one to members of his own party that are pushing for this. Unfortunately, what I've seen in the past is this governor talks a good game, says that, you know, things like tax cuts aren't on his priority list, but then on situations like right to work, caves to the right. So I hope he won't do that in this situation. I know, you know, election years are tough. People like gimmicks in election years. But I think any permanent tax decrease with this money just isn't responsible. And if you're going to do it, you should target it to places that'll help the middle class.
What about a rebate, a direct rebate to taxpayers? Gretchen Whitmer has said she doesn't have a real major problem with that.
Well, I guess you have to decide what you want to do with it and will it actually benefit the long term. I would say this. The average rebate check that a person's going to get based on what the actual amount that's out there is less than $100. You know, I mean, is that going to affect anyone's life in any major way? Is that going to fix our economy? I think the answer is no. So you have a chance to either invest the money in something that will actually improve our economy and actually take the state forward, or you can give everybody a check for $85. I think the average person, at least in my family, would prefer that you actually invest it in somewhere that's going to help the state as a whole. So, you know, I don't think rebates are bad. I think sometimes they can be good even. But when it's that small of money and you don't know if it's going to come back next year, they're actually saying that the way the budgets are set up, they might have a $400,000 hole next year. $400 million hole next year already. So a $400 million hole, the surplus is already half gone by the time you pay that. So you have to be careful. And, you know, an election year, Everyone wants to do something that's going to be popular. I'm sure writing everybody an $85 check is popular, but I'm not so sure it's good for the state.
What will you be listening to for most closely in the State of the State address?
I think that the governor needs to lay out a plan for improving education in the state. You know, we've talked about expanding early education. We haven't exactly found the funding to do that.
He could very well assign some of this budget surplus to education. That wouldn't surprise you, would it?
No, it wouldn't surprise me, and I hope he does. I hope they can backfill some of the holes that they've created in our public education system or across the state. We also need to look at anybody who's driven on the roads since the ice storm knows that we have some major problems both here in this area and on the highways. We need to make some investments there, and I'm hoping that he'll lay out a plan to do that.
Curtis Sertell Jr. is Ingham County Register of Deeds, and he is a candidate, the Democratic candidate to replace Gretchen Whitmer in the Senate 23rd District here in Michigan. Curtis, thank you.
Thank you.
Good to see you.